The Alpha King prepared for tears. His wife gave him a smile instead. Years later, Lucian Blackthorne would realize that was the most dangerous moment of his life. Not because she shouted, not because she cried, because the day Serafina stopped fighting for their marriage, she also stopped believing it could be saved. The Royal Founders Ball glittered beneath thousands of crystal lights. Nobles from every allied kingdom filled the grand ballroom, celebrating another year of peace under the Blackthorne crown. At the center of it all stood Alpha King Lucian Blackthorne and his Luna, Serafina Ashbourne. As always, she greeted every guest with effortless grace. She remembered names, asked about children, thanked elderly generals for decades of service. Even visiting ambassadors whispered among themselves, "The Luna has the heart of the kingdom." Lucian heard the compliments. He smiled with quiet pride. Then the palace doors opened. A hush swept through the ballroom. Lady Vivian Thornmere entered, wearing a silver gown that shimmered beneath the chandeliers. Once, before duty reshaped the future, she had been the woman everyone expected Lucian to marry. The whispers began immediately. They were always meant to be. I heard they never stopped caring. What unfortunate timing for the Luna. Serafina heard every word. She simply continued welcoming guests. Dinner began. Music softened. Conversation flowed easily, until an elderly duke lifted his wine glass. "Your Majesty," he said with a laugh, "if Lady Vivian had never left the kingdom," he smiled toward Vivian, "history might have crowned a different queen." Silence fell across the royal table. Forks stopped moving. Musicians lowered their instruments. Every eye turned toward Lucian. This was the moment. One sentence would end every rumor. One sentence would tell the kingdom exactly where his loyalty belonged. Lucian forced an awkward smile. Perhaps. Only one word. But it echoed louder than the orchestra ever had. Serafina slowly placed her wine glass on the table. She looked at her husband. For one brief second, something flickered in her eyes. Not anger. Not heartbreak. Acceptance. Then she smiled. A gentle, beautiful, almost peaceful smile. She finished her dinner. Asked the queen of a neighboring territory about her grandchildren. Complimented the chef on the evening meal. Laughed politely at another noble's story. No one watching would have guessed anything had changed. Least of all Lucian. Relief settled over him. She wasn't making a scene. She wasn't demanding explanations. He convinced himself the moment had passed. He had no idea that silence could end a marriage more completely than any argument. As the final dance began, Serafina accepted Lucian's offered arm with the same graceful smile. Only she knew it would be the last evening she ever spent as the kingdom's Luna. Lucian followed Serafina to the Luna wing, expecting raised voices. Instead, he found silence. She stood beside the library shelves, carefully removing books one by one and placing them into wooden boxes. Not hurriedly, not dramatically, methodically. He loosened the collar of his formal jacket. "So," she looked up. "So? I thought we'd talk. We are." She smiled pleasantly and returned to the books. The calmness unsettled him. "Aren't you going to ask me about tonight?" She slid another book into the box. "Would it change your answer?" Lucian frowned. "My answer to what?" "Exactly." The room fell quiet again. He watched her arrange the books according to size instead of title, something she had always done because she claimed it made unpacking easier. "What are you doing?" he finally asked. She glanced around the room, putting things where they belong. The answer sounded ordinary, yet something about it made him uneasy. "You aren't angry?" She met his eyes. "No, you should be." A soft laugh escaped her. "I don't think that would help either of us." Lucian stepped closer. "What happened at dinner wasn't what it looked like." She nodded. "I know." "You do?" "I know one word can say more than 100. He opened his mouth, then closed it again. For the first time that evening, he didn't know what to say. She crossed to a cabinet and removed a small wooden music box. Her father's gift on her 16th birthday. It rested gently inside another crate. "You keep packing," he said. "I'm not packing." She smiled again. "I'm deciding what belongs to me." He looked around the room. Nothing seemed different. The royal portraits remained on the walls. Her gown still filled the wardrobe. The Luna's crown rested on its velvet cushion. He let out a quiet breath. Perhaps he was imagining things. Perhaps tomorrow they would laugh at how awkward the evening had become. He walked over and kissed her forehead. "I'm sorry if I embarrassed you." "I know. I'll make it right. I hope you do." Satisfied that the worst had passed, Lucian squeezed her hand before leaving for his study. He never noticed what she did after the door closed. She crossed to the wardrobe, past every royal gown, every jeweled necklace, every gift received after becoming Luna. Instead, she opened a cedar chest tucked beneath the window. Inside were the things that belonged to the woman she had been before marriage: her mother's quilt, a leather journal, a pressed wildflower, a silver hairpin from her childhood. One by one, she chose the pieces of the life she intended to keep. Before dawn, the palace belonged to silence. The grand corridors that bustled with servants during the day now echoed only with the soft sound of Serafina's footsteps. She carried a single travel bag, nothing more. She stopped first at the orphan school, tucked inside the eastern courtyard. Years earlier, the room had been an abandoned storage hall. Now, tiny desks stood neatly in rows, and colorful drawings covered the walls. The elderly teacher looked up in surprise. "Your Grace?" Serafina smiled. "I wanted to say goodbye." The woman frowned. "Are you traveling? For a while?" The teacher embraced her without asking another question. Some farewells needed no explanation. Next, Serafina crossed the palace gardens to the healer's greenhouse. Medicinal herbs filled every shelf, their scent mingling with the cool morning air. She ran her fingers lightly over the lavender she had planted herself. "Take care of them," she whispered to the young apprentice arriving for work. "I will," he promised. Her final stop was the royal kitchens. The head cook looked up from kneading bread. "You've never missed breakfast service." "I know." She handed him a folded recipe book. "My mother's winter soup." He accepted it with trembling hands. "We'll miss you." She simply smiled. At the front entrance, the chief steward waited, as though he had somehow known she would come. She placed a sealed envelope in his hands. "For His Majesty." His eyes widened. "Your Grace, if he asks where I went," she paused, "tell him I finally stopped waiting." The old steward bowed deeply, unable to hide the tears gathering in his eyes. As the first rays of sunrise touched the palace towers, Serafina walked through the open gates. No escort, no carriage, no farewell procession. Just one woman quietly leaving the life she had spent years trying to hold together. An hour later, Lucian entered the Luna Wing. He smiled as he pushed open the doors. "Serafina?" No answer. The room was spotless. Fresh flowers rested on the windowsill. Her royal cloak lay neatly folded across the bed. The Luna's jewelry remained untouched. Then he saw the envelope. His hands shook as he unfolded the letter. "You kept waiting for me to fight another woman. I kept waiting for you to choose your wife without needing a competition. Now neither of us has to wait anymore." Lucian read the final sentence once. Then again. Then a third time. His face drained of color. "Guards!" His voice thundered through the palace. "Close every gate. The Luna has left the palace." But by then, the woman he thought would always stay had already disappeared beyond the kingdom's walls. The search lasted 11 months. Royal riders crossed every province. Messengers questioned merchants, healers, and travelers. Rewards were offered. No one found Serafina Ashbourne. Gradually, the kingdom accepted that its Luna had chosen never to return. Lucian refused to believe it. Every morning, he glanced toward the empty chair beside his breakfast table. Every evening, he found himself walking to the silent Luna Wing before remembering no one waited there. The palace still functioned, but it no longer felt alive. Then, nearly a year after her disappearance, a group of southern merchants arrived at court with unusual news. One merchant bowed before the throne. "Your Majesty, there's a valley in the south, unlike any we've seen." Lucian looked up. "What about it?" "It used to be the poorest farming region in the kingdom. Now it's the richest." The council exchanged curious glances. The merchant continued. "They've built free schools. Widows own successful vineyards. No pact disputes have been reported in almost a year." Even the chancellor looked surprised. "Who governs the valley?" The merchant smiled. "No one calls her governor. They simply call her the Silver Luna." Lucian's heartbeat slowed. "What does she look like?" "Dark hair, silver gray eyes, and she smiles at everyone." He was already standing. 3 days later, he rode into the southern valley with only one guard. The stories hadn't been exaggerated. Children hurried toward a cheerful stone schoolhouse. Rows of healthy vineyards stretched across rolling hills. Neighbors laughed as they worked side by side. No fear, no hunger, no bitterness. The village felt peaceful. Then he heard laughter. He turned. There, beneath rows of heavy grapevines, stood Serafina. Her sleeves were rolled to her elbows. A basket rested against her hip as she helped an elderly farmer gather fruit. Purple juice stained her fingertips. A little girl proudly handed her a crooked bunch of grapes. "Are these the sweetest?" Serafina examined them carefully. "They're perfect." The child grinned. Lucian couldn't remember the last time he had seen his wife laugh like that. Not the graceful smile she wore at court. A real laugh. Warm. Free. One of the farmers noticed him first. "Miss Serafina?" She turned. Their eyes met across the vineyard. For a brief moment, surprise flickered across her face. Then she smiled politely. The same gentle smile she had worn at the founder's ball. Only this time, there was no sadness behind it. Lucian finally understood the truth he had spent nearly a year refusing to face. She hadn't run away from him. She had simply walked toward the life she should have been living all along. Lucian waited until the day's work was finished. He didn't interrupt the harvest. He watched instead. Serafina moved through the vineyard, greeting every worker by name. She checked baskets of fruit, settled a friendly disagreement between two brothers, and knelt to help a little boy tie his loose bootlace. No one bowed to her, yet everyone respected her. As the sun dipped behind the hills, the villagers gathered for a simple evening meal. Only then did Serafina walk toward him. "You've come a long way," she said. "I had to." She nodded. "I thought you might." For a moment, neither spoke. The breeze carried the scent of crushed grapes and fresh bread from the village ovens. Finally, Lucian broke the silence. "I came to bring you home." Serafina smiled gently. "I'm not lost." The words landed harder than he expected. He lowered his eyes. "I made a mistake." "You did." "I'm sorry." "I know. I've thought about that night every day." "I believe you." Hope flickered inside him. "Then come back." She looked toward the village square, where children were helping elderly neighbors carry baskets of food. "They're waiting for supper," she said quietly. "So are we." Lucian took a careful step closer. "Please?" She turned back to him. Her expression held no anger, only honesty. "Do you know what I spent most of our marriage doing?" He shook his head. "Proving." He frowned. "Proving what?" "That I deserve to stand beside you." She gave a soft, almost amused laugh. "I organized the palace. Smoothed over arguments. Remembered every noble's family. Supported every decision. And every time someone questioned my place," she met his eyes. "I worked harder." Lucian felt his chest tighten. "I never asked you to. You never stopped them either." Silence settled between them. She continued softly. I kept believing that if I loved you well enough, if I served the kingdom faithfully enough, eventually, choosing me would become easy. A tear glistened briefly before she blinked it away. But love shouldn't feel like an endless audition. Lucian couldn't find the words. Everything he wanted to say suddenly sounded too small. I won't spend another year proving I deserve to stay, she whispered. The village bell rang, calling everyone to the evening meal. Children laughed as they ran toward the long tables. Serafina smiled at them before looking back at Lucian one last time. I hope you find peace. Then she quietly walked away. Lucian remained standing alone among the vines. For the first time in his life, he realized love could not be repaired by asking someone to return. It had to be rebuilt by becoming someone worth returning to. Lucian returned to the capital the next morning, not because he had given up, because the kingdom still needed its king. But something had changed. For the first time in years, he stopped believing words alone could repair what his actions had broken. 1 week later, he returned to the southern valley, not wearing royal robes, not surrounded by guards, only carrying a pair of work gloves. The villagers watched curiously as the Alpha King walked straight to the irrigation canal that had overflowed after heavy rain. An elderly farmer looked up. You know how to dig a drainage trench? Lucian smiled. I suppose today's the day I learn. The old man handed him a shovel. By noon, Lucian was covered in mud. By evening, his shoulders ached in ways no battle had ever caused. The farmer inspected the finished canal. It'll hold. Lucian wiped sweat from his brow. High praise. It's the highest you'll get today. For the first time in months, Lucian laughed. He returned the following week, then the week after that. Some days he repaired broken fences. Others he loaded grain wagons bound for neighboring villages. He taught young boys basic sword drills after chores were finished. When storms damaged a widow's roof, he spent an entire afternoon replacing shingles. He never mentioned the palace, never asked Serafina to come home. He simply came, worked, then quietly left. The seasons changed. His visits never stopped. One afternoon, Serafina found him sitting beneath an old oak tree, carving small wooden animals for a group of children. A little girl held up a lopsided wolf. It doesn't look right. Lucian studied it thoughtfully. I think it looks brave. She giggled. One ear is bigger. That just means it listens better. The children burst into laughter. Serafina couldn't help smiling. The little girl noticed her. She tugged gently on Serafina's sleeve. Miss Serafina? Yes? She pointed toward Lucian. Is the king always this stubborn? Serafina watched him patiently, helping another child sand a rough piece of wood. For a long moment, she said nothing. Then she answered honestly. No. The little girl tilted her head. Then why does he keep coming back? Serafina's eyes remained on Lucian. Because this time, he wasn't returning out of guilt, or pride, or obligation. He returned because, for the first time in their lives, he was choosing her before anyone had to ask. Spring slipped quietly into summer. The vineyards turned a rich green, and the orchards filled with ripening fruit. Lucian still arrived every week. He no longer announced himself. The villagers simply expected to see him each market day, carrying lumber, repairing tools, or helping unload wagons before joining the evening meal. He had become part of the rhythm of the valley. One afternoon, Serafina found him alone beside the river, repairing a weathered wooden footbridge. You missed a nail, she said. Without looking up, he smiled. I was wondering how long it would take you to notice. She walked closer and pointed to a loose plank. That one. He tapped it with his hammer. I left it on purpose. She folded her arms. So I'd come talk to you? Maybe. She laughed despite herself. The sound made him look up. It was the first time he had heard her laugh because of him, in a very long time. Together, they secured the last plank. Neither hurried to leave. The river flowed quietly beside them. Finally, Lucian spoke. I used to think silence meant everything was fine. Serafina remained still. I thought if we weren't arguing, we were happy. He stared at the ripples in the water. I never realized silence can also mean someone has stopped believing you'll listen. She looked at him. There were no excuses in his voice, no attempt to blame politics, pressure, or the endless demands of the crown. Only regret. I confused peace with love, he admitted. I thought because you stayed, you would always stay. The honesty settled gently between them. For a long moment, Serafina said nothing. Then she asked the question he had been asking himself for months. Why do you keep coming back? Lucian smiled faintly. Because the first time I came here, I wanted to bring my wife home. He met her eyes. Now I come, because this is where the woman I love chose to build hers. And I want to be part of it. Not to change it. Not to take her away. Simply, to belong beside her. Serafina searched his face. The man standing before her was no longer the king who assumed she would always wait. He had learned to wait himself, to show up, to keep choosing, without demanding anything in return. In the distance, music drifted across the valley. Villagers were hanging lanterns between the vineyards. The Harvest Moon Festival was only a few days away. Serafina looked toward the glowing lights, then back at Lucian. For the first time since leaving the palace, she wondered what it might feel like to choose him again. The Harvest Moon Festival began at sunset. Lanterns glowed between rows of grapevines, casting warm golden light across the valley. Long wooden tables overflowed with fresh bread, roasted vegetables, baked apples, and the season's first wine. Children danced barefoot across the grass. Musicians played cheerful melodies beneath the stars. Serafina moved through the crowd, greeting neighbors who had become family. This valley had given her something the palace never could, a place where she never had to earn the right to belong. As the music faded, the village elder stepped onto the small wooden stage. "I believe," he said with a grin, "someone has something to say." Laughter rippled through the crowd. Lucian walked forward. He wore no royal robes, no jeweled cloak, no crown. Only a simple white shirt with the sleeves rolled to his elbows. In his hand rested a small velvet pouch. The valley grew quiet. Lucian's eyes found Serafina. "When you left," he began, "I believed I'd lost my queen." He smiled sadly. "I was wrong." He reached into the pouch and revealed the Luna ring she had left behind in the palace. "I lost the privilege of standing beside the woman who spent years choosing me, while I assumed she'd always stay." He stepped down from the stage, one slow step after another, until he stood before her. Then he knelt, not as Alpha King, as a husband. "I choose you." His voice was steady. No hesitation. No comparisons. No waiting for you to prove your place. He held up the ring. "I'll choose you tomorrow. And the day after. And every day I have left." Silence filled the valley. Children stopped whispering. Even the breeze seemed to pause. Serafina looked at the ring, then at the man kneeling before her. A year ago, she had walked away because she refused to compete for her own marriage. Now she saw a man who no longer expected her to fight. He had done the fighting himself. Against his pride, against his assumptions, against the habits that had nearly cost him everything. She took the ring gently from his hand. Instead of waiting for him, she slipped it onto her own finger. Then she offered him her hand. This time, she smiled, her eyes shining with quiet tears. "I'm choosing too." The valley erupted into cheers. Around them, the wolves lifted their heads toward the full moon and howled as one. For the first time, their marriage belonged to both of them. Serafina returned to the palace 6 months later. Not because the throne called her back, because her heart did. When the royal carriage stopped before the palace steps, the servants gathered in silence. Many remembered the morning she had walked away, carrying a single travel bag. Now they watched her return with the same quiet grace. But this time, her smile carried peace instead of resignation. Lucian met her at the entrance. He didn't offer his arm. He offered his hand. She took it willingly. Together, they walked through the palace doors. The Luna Wing looked much as she remembered. For exactly one day. The next morning, workers filled its halls. Unused guest chambers became homes for orphaned pups. The grand reception room became a school where children from every pack could study together. An empty ballroom was transformed into a healing center for wounded wolves and widowed families. The palace no longer existed only for nobles. Its doors opened to the people it was meant to serve. When the council questioned the expense, Lucian answered simply, "The palace should never feel grander than the kingdom it serves." No one argued again. Years passed. The laughter of children replaced the echo of empty corridors. Travelers resting in the sanctuary often asked why the Luna Wing looked so different from every other royal residence. Lucian always smiled before answering. "Because once, I mistook peace for happiness. I mistook silence for forgiveness. And I nearly lost the woman who taught me the difference." He would glance toward Serafina, who was usually surrounded by children reading stories or helping young healers tend injured wolf pups. "I expected her to fight for a place that should have been hers from the beginning. But love isn't proven by how hard someone struggles to stay." He slipped his hand into hers. "It's proven by how faithfully you choose them before they ever have a reason to leave." Serafina squeezed his hand gently. This time, she never questioned whether she belonged. Not because she had changed, because the man beside her finally had. The kingdom remembered the night the Luna smiled instead of arguing. History remembered something far greater. The king who learned that the quietest goodbye could become the loudest lesson. And the woman who walked away without bitterness built a beautiful life of her own and chose to return only when love no longer required her to compete for it. From that day forward, the Luna Wing was never empty again. It was filled with kindness, laughter, and a love that both of them chose, every single day.